This is Ashley Pfeiffer
and Ariel Brooke Stevens,
and you're listening to At the Closing Table with Ariel and Ashley. We're coming to you on Reggae Rocks, Kendall County. We're going to be with you on the first Saturday of every month from 10 to 11. If you've missed an episode and you just can't sleep at night because of what you might have missed out on, you can download the Reggae Rocks, Kendall County app to listen to all of our podcasts. So let's get into it.
Okay. What are we going to talk about today?
Well, I think home equity loans and second lines of credit.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
Well, we're both seeing more of them, so let's do it.
Okay, let's do it. So when we say we're going to talk about home equities and home equity lines of credit, they are a little bit different.
Yes.
And I guess right off the bat, we want to put some disclaimers out there. I'm not an attorney.
And I'm not a financial planner or a lender.
Exactly. We're none of those things. We are.
Maybe we should tell them who we are and what we do.
I think that's a great idea.
Okay.
So I'm Ashley Pfeiffer, and I work for Kendall County Abstract, a title company here in Kendall County in Texas.
Awesome. I'm Ariel Brooke Stevens, and I'm the broker of Hill Country Home and Land. I'm a realtor.
And, you know, so we're coming. These subjects, we're coming at these subjects from kind of two different perspectives,
yes.
Right? Because I'm always worried about, ooh, we're insuring that and what we've got to work on there. And Ariel, you know, is worried about her customer and the real estate side of it. So again, with the disclaimer that we're not attorneys and we're not financial advisors, we're just going to talk to you about what we see, what I see on my side.
Yes, yes. And if you, I mean, and by all means, if you have other questions about any subject we talk about, you're more than welcome to reach out, and we can put you in contact with a lender, with an attorney, with a financial planner.
Right, with all the people who know.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so with the home equities, it's
funny.
Should
we tell them the difference between a home equity line of credit?
Yeah, I think absolutely.
Okay,
go ahead.
So you have a home equity loan, and you have a home equity line of credit. A home equity loan, both of them pull from the equity in your home. And right now, especially here in Kendall County, there's so many of us with the lovely amount of equity after the COVID craziness. A home equity loan is going to say your home is valued at X, say, let's just say $300,000, and you actually have $200,000 worth of equity because the market's amazing. You can take 80% of your home's value, but with a home equity loan, they're going to hand you the whole lump sum, and you're going to be responsible for principal and interest and paying that back starting immediately. The difference with a home equity line of credit is that it acts more like a credit card, if you will, where you can still only borrow up to 80% of the value of your home. However, you only take what you need, and in many cases, you only start paying back interest-only payments on what you've borrowed. So this particular item is extremely attractive to people who are feeling stuck in a home that's not working for them. So that's, in a nutshell, the difference between home equity lines of credit and home equity loans.
And I think when you say people feeling stuck, what we're talking about is the fact that, you know, history-wise, the way that it worked is, you know, I buy a house and I'm in that house 5 to 7 years, and then I'm like, ooh, Ariel, I am having a third baby and I need, you know, an extra bedroom. Or, ooh, Ariel's got a pool, I want that house. You know, so it was gradually you move up in the real estate market, right? I've got a $300,000 house, I go to a $400,000, I go to a $600,000,
right.
You know, and I just keep moving on up. Well, what's happened because of the interest rates is, let's say that you're in a $500,000 house and you're at a 3% interest rate. Well, now all of a sudden I'm having that third baby, which that is a nightmare, just FYI. I'm putting that out in the universe and all that. Anyway, so I'm, you know, we're having that third baby and now we need an extra bedroom. So if I'm at 500,000, I can't go up to that 600,000 at a 6.5-7% interest rate and even be able to qualify. I mean, I'm literally stuck, and that's such a great word because now I'm like, okay, I need a house. I might think I need a pool, whether I do or not, that's a whole different thing, but
it's a first world problem.
Right. If you feel stuck, you know, used to you just moved up. Well, now that's not an option.
Well, and especially when you look at it as, like you said, somebody might have, I mean, I have clients that have a 1.9 interest rate when they purchased in 2021. The ability to keep that first mortgage at the low interest rate that people got just a few years ago And to borrow money at the higher rate, obviously, it makes it a doable prospect to now create a home that works.
Right.
Versus feeling stuck.
Right.
We're also seeing room additions is a huge one. Office additions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know there's all the chatter about everybody's got to go back in the office and, you know, since the government made some changes. But the reality is that there is still a very large number of people who work from home. And now two adults in the house, or three adults in the house, that now work from home. So creating offices, room additions. I'm now seeing people who have homes that maybe aren't up to date. You know,
right.
You really do need to revamp your bathrooms and your kitchen and new flooring, and, you know, wear and tear happens. And that's why you don't have three children. So being able to pull the equity out of your home with something like a home equity line of credit, it's really genius. And frankly, from around 1980 to 2000, this was a very popular loan product. They were doing it all the time. And then you have the crash, you know, the 2006, 2007, 2008, where people were, they were being lent 100% of the value of a home. And then all of a sudden the lenders are realizing this type of loan product doesn't work anymore because nobody has the equity.
Right.
People were foreclosing left and right. And so you didn't really see them at all until recently. And in fact, Ashley was sharing with me that she's starting to see people closing on home equity lines of credit a lot more,
you know, I mean, and it kind of came out of the blue. And then, you know, everybody that I sit down with at the closing table, I always am running a poll, right? Okay, what are you doing? Why are you doing it? That type of thing, just because I guess I'm nosy. But what they're telling me is that it's because, hey, I need that third bedroom, or I want that swimming pool, and I could not do it because of the interest rates. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about what it looks like, right? Like on my end and the insuring end and the customer's end. Okay. So, you know, I've got my $500,000 house and I've got my loan for, you know, let's say $200,000 is all that I owe on this $500,000 house. But that $200,000, is it a 2% interest rate,
right?
2.5. I mean, it's just crazy low, right?
Lovely.
It's lovely. And we know we're not going to see that probably for a while. So what we're seeing on these second liens is you come in and you do a second lien home equity. Now, remember, Ariel explained the difference between a second lien line of credit and a home equity. So if you're going to do an addition, you know, you could do either one, but a lot of times you want that money right now. You want the whole lump sum,
right,
so that you can get that third bedroom built or that office built. So what we're seeing is we've got our first lien in place. We take our second lien home equity. You do an actual home equity. You pull, you know, $75,000 out. You build that third bedroom.
Yeah.
And then you make principal and interest payments. Now, the other option is you do a home equity line of credit and you do $75,000 and you pull $5,000 out to get the plans drawn up. And then, so then you're only paying interest back on that $5,000. Okay, now it's time to pour the slab for that addition. Now we're going to pull another $10,000 out.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks a little bit different, but the overall idea is the same. And that's why when we say we're not financial planners, everybody's scenario is different. You've got to find somebody who can look at your situation and say, ooh, this is the way you need to do it, or that's the way you need to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what we're trying to get at is you don't know what you don't know.
Right.
So if somebody's not saying, hey, guess what? You need that third bedroom. Here's an idea of how to get it.
Yes.
You know, because I know that I always think, because I do this all day long, every day, that people just know what I know. And that's not true.
Well, and exactly, because I can't say that, because home equity lines of credit weren't talked about for so long. It wasn't until you and I had a conversation and I talked with a lender who had said, oh my gosh, now I'm doing these all the time, for a myriad of different reasons, frankly. And I think that this is actually super helpful for people to know that this particular option is out there, because it wasn't there before and now it's back.
Right. And so, you know, when Ari and I started talking about this podcast, this was one of the things,
yeah,
right? You don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
So, you know, we want this to be entertaining and we want to provide some usefulness,
yes,
but we feel like there's something to be gained from this.
Well, and I think too, our industry is a little, daunting, maybe is the right word.
Absolutely.
There's so many there's so many nuances and things and sometimes just sheer madness.
Right.
And people don't even know the steps to start taking to move in the direction that's right for them, or they don't even know where to go to get information, frankly. Because if you don't know the questions to ask, I mean, you feel
right
so much farther behind.
Because
yeah,
I feel like so many people think, you know, about the whole being stuck, you know, that I'm in this house, I need a third bedroom, I need whatever it is that I need, and there's no way for me to get it. There's just no way.
Right.
Okay, there are ways. But again, the general public does not do this every day.
Right.
So they don't even know that we're starting to see a resurgence of this. Or, you know, some people have never even heard home equity line of credit. Huh. I mean, it is like a foreign language. And I always say, you know, when I started doing this for about the first 6 months, I cried every day. I was like, I cannot do this, because it is like a foreign language. Right. And now, you know, 25 years later, here we are.
Well, and I actually heard about this. It was a presentation done maybe 6 months ago. It was a local lender talking about how this is back. And what piqued my curiosity was the fact that the lender mentioned that people are doing this in order to pay for children's college.
And so just FYI, we both have kids going to college this year.
Yes. So the being able to use, obviously, it's one of the best assets you can own is a home. I mean, history tells us that the greatest avenue to building wealth is to be a property owner.
Right.
But to be able to capitalize on, again, in Kendall County, a lot of us have a very large amount of equity that's just sitting there available for use. A home equity line of credit is less expensive than the interest on a credit card or even a personal loan. So I'm now talking to people and seeing them, obviously you can pull as much money as you want and just pay for college without having to do the loans. You can also, I don't know that anybody recommends this, is doing debt consolidation on a home equity line of credit, but people are doing it.
I'm seeing it more often than you would think. Especially, you know, we had talked about not seeing these very often. I will tell you that through the years, even when they were not the height of popularity, we still did them. And we did them for the whole debt consolidation thing. And you're right, financial advisor, I'm sure they're probably rolling over.
I don't know what they would say, 'cause we're not one of them.
Nope.
But what else I'm starting to see right now is, because interest rates are where they are, especially if somebody is an investor and wanting to make a purchase, maybe they don't have cash to put down, they're using the equity in their primary residence, and then that equity is used as a down payment on an investment property, which it's always, you know, you buy real estate and wait. You don't wait to buy real estate. So again, and as a realtor, we don't make any money off of these home equity lines of credits and helping our clients talk through these, because if you're not selling your house or buying another house, but I will say that being able to share this information with my clients, it just kind of takes the edge off a little bit, especially for those who were first time home buyers back in 2021. They're not able to go get the home that they feel they need now because the current one's too small, or it's just, they got a fixer upper and they don't know what to do now.
Right.
But being able to share this information it's just helpful. Our job is to be of service to others. And so,
so let's talk a little bit about the rules for a home equity. Again, I'm not a lender, but on the insuring side, there are some things that I can tell you. Number one, there are a lot of timeline dates that have to be followed. Again, those are lender dates, and I really don't know too much about them, but I hear about it. Mm-hmm. You know, I hear, oh, we got to wait for our 12-day letter. We got to wait for our 3-day, you know, this or whatever. So I know that there are some dates. Again, lender's going to work through that with you. But in the state of Texas, this is both a Texas law and a federal law, you have what is called a 3-day right of rescission. So after you get through everything with the lender, you have done your 12 days, your 3 days, your this days, however many days, and you actually get to the closing table. You come in with us, mm-hmm. you sign all of the documents, and let's say you sign on a Monday. Then you have Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday until midnight to change your mind. Mm-hmm. And when I say change your mind, I mean you say, you know what, I won the lottery and now I don't need this loan. And we literally wipe it off the books and you do not pay anything other than what you've already paid. Right. Like if you had to have an appraisal.
Well, and some of these do come with an appraisal process, especially if you're doing an addition
So that's more time, more time. Mm-hmm. But okay, so then you say, you know what? I don't want to do this. I won the lottery, whatever the case may be. We just wipe it off the books and nothing goes forward.
Yeah.
But if we get to Thursday at midnight and you have not changed your mind, Friday morning we fund.
Yes.
So what that means is if you did a home equity line of credit, after Friday would be when you could make your first draw, your $5,000 for those building plans.
Well, and the genius of the home equity line of credit versus the home equity loan, that home equity loan, you're going to get that money. At Thursday at midnight, that money's yours that you now have to start paying back.
Right. Friday morning, you would get, if you do a home equity, you would get the whole lump sum. And then you can go to your contractor and say, here, you know, build me this addition.
And in reality, if you didn't really want that loan anymore, you just say, here's it back and no harm, no foul. The home equity line of credit, that money's just going to sit there.
Right, until you need it.
Sitting at the bank until you need it.
Right.
And many people will use this, again, like a credit card, where they pay it off, and then they use it again, and then they pay it off, and they use it again. Some banks have prepayment penalties, all that stuff, again, not what we're talking about. But with the home equity line of credit, if you have 50 grand, you don't have to use it all.
Yeah.
Take 10, pay back the 10, then it's still sitting there for when you need it. Or most of the time, it's just sitting there for when you have an opportunity, because you know,
You never know when you need it.
You never know when you're going to need it.
You did say something that I found interesting a minute ago. Something about building wealth with property, real estate.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you that through the years, you know, we talk about generational wealth, and this is, you know, real estate is how you build it and whatever. I will tell you that through the years, some of the largest investors that I have dealt with, you know, and I deal with them a lot, have got huge lines of credit, these home equity lines of credit, or, you know, we have not touched on this, but there are also just lines of credit if you own investment property or you own something in an LLC, you know, that kind of thing. You can also put these types of loans onto those properties.
Right.
And I will tell you that I have got some large investors that forever have had those type of loans,
mm-hmm.
and they will go out and they will purchase an office building with that line of credit. And then once it starts making money, they use that to pay that line of credit off. And we didn't talk about this earlier, but when, you know, we were kind of first starting to touch on home equities and all of that, I had had a luncheon that I'd gone to, and Errol and I had been chatting about it, and I said, hey, I'm going to this luncheon. I'm going to kind of pick some brains of people around here. And I ran into a couple of different lenders, you know, that work here in town. And it was funny because both of them had made comment about, you know, on those home equity lines of credit, you have got to be financially responsible.
Yes.
Right? That the whole debt consolidation, if you've already gotten yourself in trouble, then maybe this is not what you want to do.
Right.
You know, because they said that the biggest problem is, you know, you start drawing it and you draw it for this and for that and for things that maybe are not that, you know, maybe the wants instead of the needs,
right.
that kind of thing. And then instead of paying it back, you know, that now they've just got another debt.
Right. Well, and you can only borrow up to 80% of the value of your home. It's nice. It's a, it's in place for a reason. And I know, I mean, I've had clients who had the home equity lines of credit. They were at that 80% loan to value because it's your first mortgage plus the line of credit. That's only 80% of what the value of your home is. It can block you in some respects because you can't go, it's considered a lien on your property. And it's in second place to your first lien.
Right.
So nobody wants to be in third place. And so you can't go get anything else. So no construction loans and all that other good stuff. So I think sometimes it's important to make sure that people understand what they're getting. Because frankly, if you don't make your payments, they'll come get your house.
Yeah.
Even though it's not your first mortgage, they can still take it. You know, one thing you started to talk about was the timeline. And I think some people get really, they see the end product of a room addition or any project whatsoever, and they don't, maybe somebody hasn't explained the messy middle.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what our podcast should have been called, is the messy middle. You know, there's permits that are required if you're doing certain work. There's a lot of things to take into consideration. I mean, obviously, especially if you're going to start doing room additions and pools and additional dwellings on your properties.
And again, we don't, know the answer to all of those things. But most of the time we can point you in the right direction, which, you know, I mean, that's really more than half the battle, is just understanding what questions to ask and whom to ask those questions to.
Yes. Yes. And it's been, I mean, it's interesting too, because some of the larger lenders, again, don't quote me on this, but I want to say big banks like Bank of America or Chase, they're not doing home equity lines of credit. The majority of these are coming out of local lending sources.
Yeah.
Which is really nice to be able to walk into somebody's office and have somebody hold your hand through the entire process.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, at a local level,
you know who you're dealing with. Exactly. You can go in when you know, want to know, when am I going to make that first payment? How's that going to look? Wait, I need to make a payment towards this loan. Or, you know, if you've got somebody that you have a relationship with, it just makes so much difference. And in this day and age where we all deal with the, you know, making the phone call and getting the voicemail that says, I'll return your call in 24 to 48 business hours, whatever. I'm already on to the next thing.
Well, and here's the thing too, is that this loan, it doesn't last forever. My understanding is that they're from maybe 10 to 15 years and they're interest only. So keep in mind when we say interest only, at the end of that 10 to 15 years, there's an awful lot to pay back.
Right.
All you've made are interest payments.
Yes.
And so you are obligated to move that into something else and it's going to be at a higher interest rate.
Right.
Because it's going to either you're refinancing everything together. That's a whole nother conversation.
And that's the lines of credit.
Correct.
The second lien home equities, those you can do for 15, 30 years. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But again, you get that lump sum. So this is where we want to make sure you understand you need to talk to a financial advisor. You need to talk to the lender to let them help you make the decision on what's best for you. We're just giving you options.
Yes. Yes. And it's nice to know that there are some options. I mean, I have so many clients right now who are just, they want to sell. I mean, if the market is not as fast as it used to be, frankly, you know, I don't know that I ever want to go back to 2021 because we were all just barely holding on.
I know.
But, you know, if you're not in a position to sell your home or, you know, some people are looking at it as if you can't do an addition to the home because you just don't have any more space in your yard, being able to do small construction projects to make a home more livable for a longish period of time,
right,
until you feel like you can. I will say too that we talked just a little bit about the permit process. It's really, really important to find a good contractor. Because there's nothing like getting yourself in a big fat mess
and we deal with that, you know, surprisingly more often than you would think. Mm-hmm. You know, the contractor ran off, the contractor won't finish the job, the contractor won't call us back. I mean, you know, it really is a mess. So be very careful with that.
Yeah.
Interview them. I mean, you know, there's lots of things. And again, you know, if you don't know the questions to ask, don't know who to ask, you know, we can help you with that.
Yeah. Ashley, we touched briefly on something that made me start thinking about a room addition and a survey. Yeah. You can't tell. We love this conversation. So I don't think people fully understand the survey process, the survey importance. And I guess we just jumped subject.
So now we're going to talk about surveys.
I'm starting to see this a lot. I'm starting to see it a lot, especially now that, like you were talking about with generational wealth and folks have owned properties forever and ever and ever. And someone has passed on and now kids are holding the property and they're not going to do anything to it. So they're not considering a home equity line of credit or whatever they want to sell. Or, you know, Jane Doe put a gazebo in her backyard and now all of a sudden can't figure out why she needs
a new survey.
And I think from a buying and a selling side of things, there just seems to be a big misunderstanding of why surveys are so important.
And I think part of the confusion comes from number one, the change in the contracts, and number two, the change in how we as a title company feel about surveys.
Yeah.
So for the longest time, it used to be that if you had a survey that was over 10 years old, we didn't really want anything to do with it, right? We would say, okay, it's too old, bring us a new survey. Okay, but is that really fair? If you've got a piece of property that has not changed because it was your parents' property, or right, it's been in the family for 50 years, you know, whatever. So it was determined that, wait a minute, if the survey really looks exactly the same, it doesn't matter if it's 10 years old, then it went to 20 years. And now we're all just willy-nilly, right? Okay, just give us a survey, let us look at it, and then we will tell you yes or no, right?
Well, and I have an old house.
Yeah.
And it's in town, and I'd used the same survey from the 80s.
Yes. And so
and
long,
then all of a sudden it wasn't good anymore.
Right. Yeah. And I know that that does confuse people, but, and we really did not talk about that we were going to talk about this, but when they changed the contract, so always before, the commercial contract had an option for a deletion of shortages in area.
Yeah.
Okay. And so on commercial contracts, we all knew we had to deal with it, but real estate agents who deal in the commercial world do not generally deal in the residential, and vice versa.
Right,
A lot of residential agents don't do commercial. So when they changed the residential contract to also include the option for a survey deletion on the owner title policy, it threw us all into a tailspin. Mm-hmm. And this has been years, and we are still spinning, because every day I get calls from people and they're like, hey, explain it to me again.
Yes.
I know you explained it to me at 9 this morning, but it's 3 this afternoon and I need it again.
Because it's not common. It is common sense, but it's just
it's not
common practice. And it's just like, even again, those of us who've been in the business, once we have to explain it to our clients, then we get confused because we feel like it's not coming out of our mouth right.
And because it talks you into a circle.
Yes.
And I say that because this, in the contract and in our title commitment, it is literally a double negative.
Yes.
Okay. So let me, y'all have no idea what we're talking about, and this is probably getting into the weeds, but I'm going to give you a very short synopsis of this. Okay. So in the earnest money contract, it says, does the buyer want survey deletion on their owner title policy? Yes or no. And then if so, is the buyer or the seller going to pay for it? Okay. So sounds pretty straightforward. It is not. Okay. So what that means is when we send out our title commitment, Schedule B number 2 tells us that we, the title company, are accepting to, we are telling you, we are not covering you for encroachments, protrusions, overlapping of improvements, and shortages in area. Okay.
Which you don't find out until you look at the survey.
Right. So at this point, we're just telling you, hey, we're not going to do it. It's promulgated language in the state of Texas. Every title commitment you get has got that on it.
Yes.
All right. So now insert the new, you know, contract, and now people have the option to delete a portion of that sentence.
Yes.
So if you choose to get a survey deletion on your owner title policy, then we take that wording down to just shortages in area, because we are never going to ensure that the surveyor did their, you know, calculations correct.
And shortages in area, sometimes that somebody put a fence too far over, or the others, no.
Okay, so shortages in area is when the surveyor shoots the boundary of the property.
Yeah.
And let's say he shoots it and he finds two pins and he calls the wrong pin. That is shortages in area, meaning he tells you your lot is 0.5 an acre and it's 0.49.
See, I've always had it in conjunction with.
Yeah. So the fencing, well, we call it meandering fences, because you know that when you put a fence up, what if there's a big tree, or what if there's a whatever? Fences are never exactly on the boundary line, and people have fits about this all the time. And
all
I'm like, hey, we have wording for this because it happens every day, all day long. They're called meandering fences, and there is a reason why they're not on the boundary, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so back to the shortages in area. If you pay to have that removed, then all of the wording, the encroachments, the protrusion, the overlapping of improvements, we take that off. So double negative, that means we're actually going to cover you for it.
Yes.
Because we've removed it. But we're never going to remove shortages in area because we don't know if the surveyor shot his lines right and all of that kind of thing.
Yes.
All right. So in order to give the survey coverage, we, the title company, have to have a good survey.
Right.
Because if there are encroachments, protrusions, all of those kind of things, we take specific exception to that. And this is so confusing because people are like, well, wait a minute. I built my garage into the setback line. I want to get a survey deletion so you'll cover it. No, ma'am. If we know that that garage is encroaching, we're going to say in Schedule B, 10, ABC, whatever letter that becomes, hey, the garage encroaches into the setbacks. We all know it. We're not covering you for this, but we will still give you survey coverage. That is what, poof, mind blown. Yeah, people just don't get it. And they don't understand the double negative. So I'm going to get out of the weeds and just say, if you have more questions, just call us. Kendall County Abstract, 830-816-2131.
Entire staff at Kendall County Abstract will be quitting today because everybody called in. But the thing is with the survey, and this is where people get really, they kind of get in trouble, frankly, is I've worked with so many clients who did a room addition, a pool, a garage addition, and they didn't say anything about when they did it or how old the survey is. And then magically, somebody comes to look at the property, an appraiser or somebody, and you're like, oh, Lordy, that's not there. Thank you for not telling me. And then it becomes
an issue.
It becomes a totally, totally different issue. So when you have a change in your property, and like Ashley said, sometimes they don't even like the surveys anyway.
Right.
So that's where as an agent, it's our job to educate people. So say you take a home equity line of credit and you're going to do a room addition, you do have to get a new survey. And maybe you don't have to have a survey to get that loan. But if you ever want to sell your property, you're going to be responsible for a new survey. Mm-hmm.
And so just to muddy the waters a little bit more, so let's say that you are on a 10-acre tract of land, mm-hmm. and you build a back bedroom on. There are times where we as the title company will allow you to draw that on to the old survey. So this just confuses people even more.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, you know, we are always looking at risk, right?
Yes.
If you are in a subdivision and you've got a postage size lot and you build a third bedroom, the chances that you have either encroached onto the neighbor's property, you are in the setback lines.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that is almost a gimme if you're on those little bitty lots. So that's when I'm going to say, whoo-hoo, no, we want a new survey.
Yes.
You bring me 10 acres and you built, you know, a little bedroom on, I'm feeling a little bit more generous on the whole.
Well, and that's where, too, that goes back to my comment about get a good contractor.
Right.
Pull the proper permits because there are some fail safes in there. And yes, it does make your process longer. Yeah. If a good contractor is a little more expensive than somebody who's the fly-by-night guy who's like, I can do this for you, doesn't even pull a permit.
Yeah.
That's a whole other ball of wax. I mean, I can't tell you how many times you find out a permit wasn't pulled for something within a house and it blocks the sale of the house.
And y'all, this is not one of those things where let's just do it and ask for forgiveness later.
No,
it does not work like that.
It does not.
And I actually hear people say that,
yes.
You know, where they think, oh, I'm just going to do it and they'll have to. There is no have to. There are rules and regulations that are in place, and I promise you it is so much easier to do right up front,
yes,
than to try to fix it in the end. Because when they come to us to fix, I mean, there are times where we cannot fix it. There are properties that are uninsurable, meaning we are unwilling to take the risk to insure them,
yep,
because they have a big enough issue. And people are like, oh, that can't be right. Oh, no, I promise you it is right.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of changes going on. I won't get into them because I don't even, they've changed so fast.
There's no way for us
who
to keep
what
up.
Happened yesterday. But you know, there are times when you have to have a plat because the city requires it, or there's new regulations coming out about building in the county.
So let's talk about that for just a second.
Okay.
Because this is another thing that the general public, I don't know, really understands this.
No, I don't think they do at all.
So if you are purchasing a piece of property, uh-huh, and it is a lot and a block, right? It's in the city and I'm buying lot 5, block 2, ABC addition.
Yeah.
Right? When you get a survey, you look at it and it is lot 1, block 5,
right,
whatever.
Right.
Okay? And it is either a square box, a triangle, whatever it looks like. That, when you get your title commitment, the way that your property is described is by lot and block.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you have a piece of property that is not in a subdivision, it has not been platted, then you purchase that property by what's called meets and bounds.
Mm-hmm.
So you might have a survey that is 5.72 acres, and then you have what's called field notes. And it literally says, and starting from the northwest corner of the iron pin numbered this, and 225 this, you know, and it calls it so that you can, what we call boots on the ground. If you went out and you found that iron pin,
mm-hmm.
you could walk from that iron pin all the way around the property back to that same iron pin.
Yes.
That is called closing the property.
Yes.
You start and you walk around and you come back to the beginning.
Yes.
And when you do that, that is called meets and bounds.
Right.
So when we are talking about plats, we're talking, well, a couple of different reasons we call them plats, but it's generally when you've got a lot and a block that you have a platted subdivision.
Right. And what's happening is that it's happening all across Texas and in older towns,
yes.
where you have the property is described as lot one, part lot two, at block such and such, because way back in the day, you know, grandma sold half of her lot to the grandchildren, and now it's all fenced in and it's one survey. So what's interesting is that you do not have to have a recent plat in order to sell your property. It's the survey that you have to have. But when it comes to doing certain improvements to your property, cities can mandate that you replat,
right.
which is an additional expense. It's additional time because you have to hire
a surveyor
to come out.
There are sometimes where you have to go through the county or the city.
Correct.
You know, they actually have committees that deal with this. It gets very, very tedious.
And frankly, it gets very frustrating. If you don't know the process going in and this is all a surprise, the 4-week pool project becomes an 8-month
right.
headache. And again, it's because, well, frankly, some of this is really boring. Let's be
yeah.
honest. And you don't pay attention to it until you have to. But I think it's one of those things, if, you know, after listening to us, in the back of your mind, you're thinking, oh my gosh, I'd like to do this project or that project. You have a better idea of some of the stuff you're going to have to, you might
deal
encounter
with.
And deal with.
It's not all sunshine and rainbows. That's all we're saying.
No. Some days it's not even close.
Some days it's a thunderstorm.
Some days you drink more
yeah.
because you can't figure out what you're doing. But I mean, I think Texas is one of those great states that's so pro property owner, and
right.
you know, everybody's looking to improve their properties, and obviously there's rules in place to keep it consistent and make sure people are doing the right thing, and for safety issues and any number of things.
Right.
So,
but again, if you don't know what those rules and regulations are and you are not prepared
yeah.
for what you are going to encounter, it makes more thunderstorms than sunshines and rainbows. Whereas at least if you have an idea of what you're getting into,
yes.
you can prepare yourself and have some sort of expectation that really is going to realistically meet the timeline in which you are, you know, ending up with.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure.
Okay. So we have talked about home equities. We've segued a couple of, you know, off
yeah.
topic a little bit here
Sorry.
And there.
I
yeah.
went down the survey rabbit hole.
That is a rabbit hole. But we appreciate you guys listening.
Yeah, this is exciting. I think
yeah.
we're going to have some wonderful things to talk about and hopefully educate more than anything and save some people some headaches.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it's all about is, you know, if you don't know the questions to ask,
yeah.
if you don't know the options that are out there, I mean, that's really all that we're about. Again, we're not attorneys. We're not financial advisors. We're just going to talk about what we see, the good, the bad, the ugly, because, you know.
We have lots of stories to share.
We do have lots of stories.
We might get ourselves in trouble, but we have a lot.
Yeah. I didn't share my home equity story. Okay. I'm going to do a real quick story because this is a good one. Okay. So I told y'all about the home equity and you got the 3-day right of rescission. One thing that we didn't mention is that you can only do one home equity every 12 months. Okay. And you can only have one home equity on your property at a time. So if you have one and you want another one, then you have to refinance the current one. Okay. So I had a closing, a super nice couple. They come in, they sign all their documents on a Monday. We go Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We're looking good. Friday, we go in to record the documents, and about 15 minutes before we went in to record the documents, another title company here in town filed the documents on a home equity they had closed for them also the previous Monday. So I had to call the people and say, hey, we can't process this home equity because you already did one. And, you know, so just in case y'all are thinking, hey, this is such a great idea, I'm going to go out and do seven of them. Yeah. You can't. You can only do one at a time.
It's like the olden days of getting four credit cards in one day because you're in college. Yeah. And no one caught you. Yeah. No, it doesn't work that way.
Here's what started all our problems.
Yes.
Anyway, so the idea is to just give y'all examples, ideas, and just talk about the things that we're seeing out in the marketplace.
Yeah. Really to be of service and hopefully have some fun along the way.
So also, if there's a topic that you are, you know, let's say you're a first-time home buyer and you're like, oh my gosh, I heard about this second lien, no cash out, you know, whatever. Feel free to contact us on Facebook at The Closing Table or on Instagram at The Closing Table. And we will certainly look at any requests that we get and see if we can't, you know, help you out with whatever it is that you're
Yeah, because there might be pressing topics that
We don't know about.
We're in the weeds every day. We're not hearing about.
Yeah. And, you know, like just like this home equity thing, I was seeing a bunch of them. Ariel had been hearing about them. But until we started talking, we didn't realize how, you know, prevalent it was and what a resurgence they were really making. So sometimes it takes somebody else bringing it to your attention that, hey, you know more than you think you know about whatever this is, or you're seeing more of it.
Well,
so.
And if a lot of people are talking about it, then it might be worth sharing it because more people might need to hear it.
Right. And, you know, because we do this all day, every day, there are times where I think, oh, I don't need to explain that. Okay.
Oh, yes.
Well, just because I know it backwards and forwards does not mean that you know it backwards and forwards.
Just because I deal with it doesn't mean I don't call Ashley all the time and say, can you please explain this to me again for the 50-11th time?
Right. Like I don't call you and say, hey, what about this new contract? This part right here, what does that really mean to me? Yeah. I mean, so, and that's another thing. As soon as we have a podcast and we talk about something, they're going to change it. And then we're going to have to talk about it again.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us this this was fun.
It was.
Yes. And again, we are on Reggae Rocks, Kendall County, and we're going to be here first Saturday of every month from 10 to 11. And we hope you'll settle in and join us again.
Yes. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.